A congressional hearing focused on the use of violent force by DHS and ICE on U.S. citizens brought together members of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. Witnesses included victims of ICE tactics, legal experts, and family members of citizens harmed and killed during immigration enforcement actions. Representative Robert Garcia of California, who serves on the House Oversight Committee, said ICE is terrorizing communities.
And to be clear, we've seen people dragged from cars, beaten, gas, attacked with crowd control weapons, blinded, like back in my home state of California, left with broken ribs, run off the road, beaten, injured, disfigured, and shot. Officers have been ordered to enter homes without warrants in violation of the Constitution. And we've also seen the federal government labeling American citizens as domestic terrorists, calling people, quote, assassins, and falsely claiming they intended to kill law enforcement, which we know, of course, has been untrue.
Democrats on the House Oversight Committee say they have tracked nearly 500 incidents on their immigration enforcement dashboard. Garcia said about 40% involved problematic use of force by agents. Lawmakers described what they say is a pattern of escalating and unlawful violence meant to intimidate dissent, and alleged efforts by federal agencies to cover their tracks to avoid accountability.
I think it's important for the public to recognize that this administration has lied, has defamed, and has smeared people that have been peacefully protesting.
Connecticut Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal described the shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy as murders carried out in cold blood, but said the brutality of those incidents go far beyond Minneapolis.
Let's be very clear. These stories are not just about Minneapolis. People hear from all over the country. These stories span the country. The nation is Minneapolis. We are all Minneapolis. And these stories are a call to action.
Democrats said they are demanding a sweeping overhaul of DHS policies, including mandatory body cameras, bans on masks, enhanced training, independent investigations, outside monitoring, and clear pathways for citizens to sue ICE agents, similar to accountability standards applied to local police. However, several lawmakers noted that responsibility ultimately lies with leadership at the top.
The top ranks of DHS are more than complicit. They are the driving force behind this brutality, and they should be held accountable. They've not only directed those actions, but also the lies and misinformation that have been presented to courts in violation of the duties lawyers have to present only the truth to courts. And they have engaged in character assassination against today's witnesses, as well as countless others, including Alex and Renee. We are at a defining moment. It's a moral moment. We are determined to continue to investigate and uncover wrongdoing, but we'll also seek action for accountability and justice.
The brothers of the late Renee Nicole Macklin Good addressed members of Congress to share more about their sister, who the Department of Homeland Security described as a domestic terrorist, but they lovingly refer to as Nene.
My name is Luke Ganger, and I'm here with my brother, Brent. Renee Good is our sister. We're here on behalf of Nay's big family and those who loved her. We're here to ask for your help.
Attorney Antonio Ramannucci, who represents the family of Renee Good, described the actions of federal agents and top officials as constitutional violations.
The occupation by ICE and CBP in our cities is way beyond their mission, leading to unnecessary provocation that causes needless harm and death. These operations in multiple states have routinely and consistently included violations of the Constitution. We call for an immediate end of false narratives by federal officials about the victims of excessive force. The character assassinations and conclusions before an investigation has been started, let alone completed, must stop. In America, our leaders must be held to a standard of truth and responsible speech. There is no such thing as absolute immunity, and that perception leads to agents who behave with absolute impunity, leading to exaggerated and violent, provoked encounters with people.
Romanucci called on Congress to amend Section 1983, the federal civil rights law that allows people to sue law enforcement officers for constitutional violations.
Keep in mind that this act is 155 years old and desperately needs an amendment. However, similar legal action against federal law enforcement officers like ICE or Border Patrol is not currently allowed under Section 1983. There is a current possible path of civil recovery through the Federal Tort Claims Act, or FTCA, but this is challenging. It requires first the filing of a claim with the government agency that has harmed you, and then waiting up to 6 months for a reply. Our current paradox is that America should not require the permission of the federal government to sue the federal government for cases like Renee Good or Alex Preddy. If the government must give you permission to seek accountability for violation of constitutional rights, then your rights are just words on paper.
The statute currently applies to state, county, and municipal officers, but not federal agents. Romanucci argued Congress could amend the law by adding four words, quote, or the United States, close quote, which he said would end immunity for federal agents. And lawmakers noted that it's that perceived immunity that is currently shielding ICE agents who shot Marimar Martinez in Chicago last October. She shared her story in front of the committee.
Esto es para toda mi gente inmigrante. My name is Marimar Martinez. I am a first-generation Mexican-American. As a survivor of this administration actions, as a 30-year-old USA citizen with no criminal history, I believed that I had nothing to worry about. But I was concerned for my friends, neighbors, based on the well-publicized incidents involving Border Patrol agents in our community over the past few weeks, arresting anyone with brown skin for no legitimate law enforcement reasons. For the next 15 to 20 minutes, I followed these Border Patrol agents through my neighborhood, honking my horn, shouting out La Migra, to warn my neighbors about the presence of these agents who have been terrorizing our community over the past few weeks.
Martinez testified that on October 4th, 2025, she was on her way to donate clothes to a church when she noticed unmarked immigration vehicles and began honking to alert her community to the presence of ICE.
I made eye contact with the driver of the Border Patrol vehicle and watched as he turned the steering wheel once again to his left and sideswiped my vehicle. I immediately froze, slammed on the brakes, and stopped my car. The Border Patrol vehicle stopped just to 1 to 2 car lengths ahead of me. It seemed like time stopped. I knew from watching the news coverage of other Border Patrol encounters in Chicago that I was in danger. I watched the vehicle of Agent Border Patrol agent killing Silverio Villegas Gonzalez just 3 weeks prior. I knew I had to get to safety before I was dragged from my car and likely beaten or killed.
She says an agent sideswiped her vehicle, contradicting the government's account of the incident. Martinez said she fled out of fear for her life, and as she drove away, she felt bullets pierce her body.
As I continued to drive past the Border Patrol agents, I could hear my back passenger window shatter, and I felt bullets continue to pierce my body. As I attempted to drive to a safe location, I began to feel lightheaded. I looked down and I noticed blood gushing out of my arms and legs, and I realized I'd been shot multiple times. As I became lightheaded, I became worried I would pass out and endanger other drivers on the road. I managed to drive a mile from where the incident happened. And I pulled into a parking lot of a mechanic shop, and I called 911.
She testified that she was later discharged from the hospital directly into FBI custody and taken to a detention facility, despite being an American citizen.
The news in the jail that evening had my story and was being called a domestic terrorist. They said I quote-unquote rammed federal agents. I was in shock. If they only knew, I was a month away from paying off my truck, and I would never intentionally damage my vehicle, much less be crazy enough to hit a law enforcement. On Friday, I was teaching the young children at the Montessori school, and we were singing and dancing and getting ready for spooky season, preparing fall activities to do the following week. And on Saturday, my own government was calling me a domestic terrorist, and I was in federal detention centers with the bullet holes all over my body.
Similar to claims made in the killing of Alex Preti, DHS cited Martinez as being armed as justification for the use of force.
I heard the government describe me as being armed, even though I knew my gun was always inside my snap clothes holster at the bottom of my purse, where I always kept it. The prosecutor told the judge there was no allegation that I have took the gun out my purse, but that did not stop DHS from continuing to say I was armed. During this incident, my attorney explained to the judge that I have a valid concealed carry license and that as a young woman living in Chicago, I carry a gun to protect me from danger. Thankfully, the judge quickly denied the government's detention request and released me on bond that day.
Another witness, Aaliyah Rahman, a U.S. citizen from Minneapolis who has autism and a traumatic brain injury, testified that she was violently dragged from her car by immigration agents in January. After telling them she had a disability and was detained without immediate medical care or accommodations.
On January 13th, on the way to my 39th appointment at Hennepin County's Traumatic Brain Injury Center, I encountered a traffic jam caused by ICE vehicles and no signs indicating how to get around it. I had not wanted to pull into a blocked, chaotic intersection, but verbally agreed to do so and rolled down my window after an agent yelled, "Move! I will break your effing window!" His first instruction. Agents on all sides of my vehicle yelled conflicting threats and instructions that I could not process while watching for pedestrians. Then the glass of the passenger side window flew across my face. I yelled, "I'm disabled," at the hands grabbing at me, and an agent said, "Too late." I felt immersed in a pattern, and I thought of Genoa Donald, an autistic black man killed by police during a traffic stop in 2021. I remembered Mr. Siberio Villaega Gonzalez, who was killed by ICE in his vehicle last year. An agent pulled a large combat knife in front of my face, which I thought was for cutting me, and later learned was used to cut off my seatbelt. Shooting pain went through my head, neck, and wrists when I hit the ground face first and people leaned on my back. I felt the pattern, and I thought of Mr. George Floyd, who was killed four blocks away. I was carried face down through the street by my cuffed arms and legs while yelling that I had a brain injury and was disabled. I now cannot lift my arms normally. I was never asked for ID, never told I was under arrest, never read my rights, and never charged with a crime.
Martin Daniel Rescon, a U.S. citizen from San Bernardino, testified that last August he was in a car with family members when ICE and CPB agents unlawfully stopped them and fired multiple shots into their vehicle.
There were two men on either side of the car, and they were not wearing any uniform. I cannot tell who these men surrounding our car with guns were. We again asked them to show identification and why they were approaching us with so much aggression. Only seconds after they started pounding on the windows, one of the men broke the driver's side window, punched Francisco in the face, and began reaching into the car. At the same time, a man on the other side of the car broke the passenger window where Jonathan was sitting and began reaching into the vehicle. They shattered the windows, and in that moment, the whole world felt like it was the size of the inside of our pickup. And we were sitting in harm's way with nothing to do but record the horrifying experience.
Rascon said the agents wore no uniform, showed no identification, and opened fire as the family attempted to flee, narrowly escaping with their lives.
As he fired and made contact with the passenger side of our car multiple times, I will never forget the fear and having to quickly duck my head as the shots were fired at the car. Any one of those bullets could have killed me or two people that I love.
DHS would press charges against the family. However, cell phone footage later corroborated their claims, the judge siding with Rascon. Legal expert Seth Stoughton, a former police officer and professor at the University of South Carolina School of Law, raised concerns about what he described as a possible increase in, quote, blue-on-blue incidents, close quote, where unidentified federal agents could be mistaken for threats by local law enforcement.
Among other things, local officers have responded to kidnapping and shooting in progress calls. In one incident, a local officer drew his weapon on a motorist that he saw pointing a gun at someone else, only to later learn that that motorist was an ICE agent.
Before moving on to additional comment, Representative Garcia asked for clarification from the victims, including Marimar Martinez.
You were shot 5 times, which is terrifying and horrific. Your own government called you a domestic terrorist, is that correct?
Correct.
And you're not a terrorist, of course, correct?
No, I'm not.
You're a teacher, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
You were convicted of no crimes, is that correct?
Correct.
Have you ever been convicted of a crime?
Never.
Never been convicted of a crime. But the government kept calling you a domestic terrorist even after all the baseless criminal charges against you were dismissed, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Would you agree that the government is trying to intimidate protesters and to encourage more violence?
Yes.
Is it true that in the body cam footage, the CBP officer told you to, and I'm so sorry for saying this, the officer told you to, quote, do something, bitch, before he fired?
Yes.
While senators and representatives pledged further investigations and accountability, New Mexico Democrat Melanie Stansberry warned that promises alone are not enough.
I mean, this isn't just about sunlight. We're here to bear witness. We're here to tell the truth. But I'm sorry, we need to defund and dismantle this agency immediately. And a bill just passed a few moments ago before we walked into this hearing room to give another 2 weeks to think about a deal. No, it's time to defund this. This has to end.
For KPFA News, I'm Lauren Schmidt.